Okay, I'm going to introduce Yvonne Ridley, who many of you will know, writer, a broadcaster, a campaigner on a range of issues against racism, against war, in solidarity with Palestine. I was co-chairing with Dipu Ahad the rally for Gaza last July, when around 1,000 people turned out, the biggest demonstration on that issue that we've ever had in Newcastle. And Yvonne rounded off our rally superbly, and we're very grateful to Yvonne for her support on that occasion and on many other occasions. She is from the North East region herself as well, and I know she likes getting back here and being involved in the thick of things the way I do. And she will be speaking again on Saturday as well, of course. So we're very pleased to have Yvonne here this evening. So Yvonne Ridley.
Brothers, sisters, friends, comrades, salam alaikum. Of course, we're here today to talk about Islamophobia, but make no mistake, the reason that we've arrived at this situation today speaks volumes about the evils of UK government policy more than anything else, because it's under David Cameron that the EDL, Britain First, as well as other odious right-wing groups, including the usual suspects from the BNP and the former National Front, or whatever they call themselves now, they have been able to thrive under this austerity government, enabling them to target and scapegoat minority groups. Today, it's the Muslims in the firing line. A few years ago, it was the Irish, and before that, the black communities. They felt the full force of racist bigotry, which is sweeping through Britain today like some sort of Ebola-style virus. The fascists love to use the argument that we can't even talk about immigration without being labelled racists and bigots. The problem is, of course, they're not just talking about it, but they are pushing lies about immigration, especially in the white working class communities where unemployment is raging, poverty is very real, housing is in short supply, and spiraling debt is out of control. I still cringe when I see the Wonga shirts of Newcastle United, a club that, you know, I love, and there it is, you know, a reminder really of the situation that we're in here in the Northeast. And sadly, there are those politicians and media who will whip up hate when it suits their purpose. And you can see how easy it is. But instead of turning on each other, we should be channeling our anger towards the hedge fund managers, the fat cats, the tax dodgers, and the banksters. They're all friends of this government, and I have to say, the previous government. In other words, they're all in it together. But instead of being exploited and manipulated, we should keep our focus on Westminster, because that is where the source of our problems lie, not with each other. I'd like to bet that 90% of the folk who turn up to the Pegida march don't really know why they're angry. They don't really know why they hate Muslims, or who to blame for their anger. But they've allowed themselves to be convinced it's the fault of the Muslims, code word for immigration. They're with Pegida because they have been lied to about poverty and immigration. The bigots and the racists have turned the likes of Lee Rigby into their poster boy, despite outrage by his own family, who don't want the memory of their soldier son exploited in such a vile way. The haters will tell you this is all about freedom of speech, when they only invoke that right when they want to make outlandish statements and claims and barefaced lies. Of course, try disagreeing with them, and then freedom of speech, in particular yours and mine, doesn't exist. Councillor Dipu Arhart spoke his mind and gave his honest opinion over the years of what he thought about bigots and racists. His freedom of speech earned him death threats and threats of violence. On Saturday, we will see the usual array of patriotic mottos and slogans with the waving of British flags, our flags, which have been hijacked by the haters. They'll be whipping up hysteria and hatred, telling the public that the common threat comes from Islam, Muslims, and terrorism. They'll ramp up their alignment with the British military. Trust me, that's the last thing that most British soldiers want. But these vile individuals don't just target Muslims. Many are sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, anti-Semitic, and anti-anyone who doesn't agree with their hideous views. They despise socialism and the trade unions. In fact, any movement which serves to bond and unite people. So I've got no doubt they'll also hate Stop the War as well. Stop the War is an amazing movement which has sought to brought together very successfully diverse communities fighting in a common cause, and they've done a tremendous job on that. Poverty in the north is virtually higher than anywhere else in Britain, and wherever there is a burgeoning economic depression, you'll find right-wing nationalist extremism. It can only survive by thriving on the misery and poverty of others. Maybe the model somebody suggested that we should look towards is the left-wing anti-corruption party in Spain called We Can, or, and I'm going to kill the pronunciation here, Podemos. Instead of providing a breeding ground for vile racism and hatred, they've become a lightning rod for hope, unity and protection of minority groups. Isn't it ironic that Spain, a country in the grip of a fascist dictatorship around 40 years ago, is pulling people together who want a positive change and a better life and security for everyone? My mother, she's 88, she's coming on Saturday's march. As she says, this country should give no quarter with fascist tendencies. Her father and her late husband, my dad, made the sort of sacrifices millions of other families made during two world wars to stop fascists coming to the UK. And now the EDL have invited them into our own backyard. The last time she was on a march was in 2003 against the fascist Tony Blair. It takes a lot to get her agitated, and the news that Pegida have chosen Newcastle to ply their filth and hate has moved her to march again. Someone else who hated tyranny was Emily Davison, a great suffragette. She paid the ultimate sacrifice for her beliefs. Obviously, we won't be expected to do that on Saturday, thank God. But I just want to finish with a conversation I had with a friend, the late Leon Kuhn. Now, many of you may know him, may remember his work. He did a lot of brilliant cartoons for Stop the War. And he was much loved and respected before he died a couple of years ago. And I had a conversation with Leon about the concept of Islamophobia and how real it was and whether we should be alarmed. His grandparents perished in the Holocaust, and he said that he learned at a very early age that the hate towards the Jewish people began with the demonization of their religious leaders. The rabbis were portrayed in the media in cartoons. They had grenades hidden in their ringlets. They were portrayed as octopus-like figures, and all the horrible stereotypes, actually stereotypes which Charlie Hebdo uses today. And he said to me, those cartoons started the hate. The targeting of an entire group of people purely for their faith. And he said, so yes, Yvonne, you have a cause to be alarmed. I'm not suggesting you're anywhere near the stage that my grandparents reached, but you were at the head of a very dark street. And he said, you have to stand up, you have to be united, because you must not allow yourself to be dragged down this street as Muslims. So this is something that I think Stop the War has been very conscious of. You know, now more than ever, Muslims need their non-Muslim friends to rally round and support them and help them. I'm hoping that there will be a significant turnout from the Muslim community in Newcastle. I hope the message gets back to them in their mosques when they meet for Friday prayers tomorrow. It's vitally important that we all come together, because as I said, before it was the Irish, before that it was the black communities, now it's the Muslims. Who will it be tomorrow? You know, Newcastle Unites, Stop the War, they're brilliant movements at pulling people together, bringing through a common thread, and that is what we must focus on, pulling together, pulling as one, regardless of our position on faith or no faith, cultures, skin colour, nationalities. We should tomorrow, on Saturday, put on a united front. And the fact that so many of you have given up your time tonight to come here is very heartening indeed. And so thank you very much for being so attentive and listening. I converted to Islam about 10 years ago. Islamophobia is very, very real. I never ever imagined, as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman, that I would be told when I'm walking through the streets of my own country, that I would be told, why don't you clear off back home? But that is exactly what happened to me a few years ago. It's not very nice being targeted, and unfortunately, Muslim women are easily identified and targeted because of their hijabs. And these threats have been very real. I spoke on a campus in Colchester just a few weeks ago, where a Saudi student was murdered. She wore a niqab, and that happened 8 months ago, and they still haven't found her killer. But Muslim women are seen as soft targets. We do need help. We do need your support. Thank you for coming tonight, and hopefully I'll see you all on Saturday as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you.